Welcome to Gateways Podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from Pastor Don Brock. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
We needed to put a box of Kleenexes on every row. And but yeah, I get you probably recognize most of those people. All those people were at Gateway, and it was just precious to watch them share those stories with their moms. And stories are still being told, and there are still stories to have that are being made. And you have the privilege to continue to tell and to continue to make stories. We're finishing the series today about starting with me, and we've just been talking through all the different ways that God wants to work through your life, and we did everything based on the commandments of loving God, loving others, and making disciples. And the very first message was about learning to love yourself, because the Bible says love others as you love yourself. And so a lot of people struggle with loving themselves, so that's why we started with that. You know, we've talked about God starting with you in your neighborhood, God starting with you in the workplace, God starting with you in your marriage. And today we want to talk about God starting with you in the home. And what does that look like? What does God have to say about this? So we're going to start with Psalms 127, and we're going to have a foundation built that we're going to build upon with some other verses. And the psalmist says something very important, and he's exactly right. And we see God's sovereignty in these three realms. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, a home, the work of the builders is wasted. So, you know, you could talk about the physical structure, but I think he's also talking about the substance of what happens within that home. And it says, unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. And so, yes, he's talking about a city, but it also is talking about a home. Unless the Lord is there, unless the Lord's doing it, then there's only so much we can do. In verse 2, it says, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to those he loves. And then immediately goes into this next statement, which kind of shows me the purpose of all of this. He says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. So if I am to build a home, if I am to protect that home, if I am to allow God to rule my life and the way I use my life, he has to be sovereign in all three of those areas. Sovereign in how I build my home, not physically, but emotionally and spiritually. And sovereign in how I protect my family, that he is sovereign in that he decides what matters, and he decides this is what's important, this is what you need to focus on, these are the things you need to deal with. And so God is sovereign in all of these things. So I begin with him. So if God's going to start with me in my family, then I have to start with God. So I have to begin by saying, God, I want to do it your way. I want to do what matters to you. I want to focus on what you care about. You know, you can build a house, but that's very different from building a home. I was talking to a friend of mine that I've been mentoring, and he was talking about one of his closest friends, and he says, you know, every time we would go over to his family's home, you know, his mom made the house in such a way that you weren't allowed to touch anything. You been to houses like that? I mean, I was at my mom's house Friday up in North Carolina, getting ready to take him out to dinner. I go in the bathroom, and then all of a sudden I was reminded, I'm not sure I'm allowed to use any of these towels. Yeah, have you been in those kind of bathrooms? Well, something was different this time. I looked over at the soap dish, and I'm sitting there going, I don't think you're supposed to use that soap. You know, it was too pretty. And it was obvious it hadn't been used. And so, then I saw a little can of, a little pump spray of soap. I said, oh, okay, so that you look at, this you use. And then you wipe your hands on your pants. Makes perfect sense. But that's not the home I grew up in. That's the way, it wasn't that way in my, when I grew up. My mom and my dad built a home that we are to live in, we're to enjoy and to have fun and to feel safe. Because they built a home, not a house. And yes, it was a house, but the focus was on it being a home. And they focused on it being built on God's principles. So he was sovereign. And God decided what mattered, what was important. Scripture told them what we needed to focus on and not worry about. And so often, especially men, they spend so much time working and working and working and working to pay for the house that they have no time to build a home. God says, check your priorities. Make sure you're building a home. Make sure you're building it on things that matter, on my truth, because I've blessed you. Your children are a gift. And just like we use the jars of marbles to remind us they're a temporary gift. They are, we're temporary stewards. I was just talking to one of our men about his son graduating from college, and I just looked at him. I said, I can't believe it's been 4 years already. It seems like we just sent him off to college. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know the thing about those marbles and those jars, the closer you get to the 18-year mark, the faster the marbles seem to be coming out, right? I mean, it just happens so quickly. So am I building a home where my kids will learn truth, truth that they can apply, truth that they can live in, and will pass on to their kids? Am I building a home and raising up my kids so that when my grandkids come, it'll seem just like their home because my kids are passing on to their kids the same principles that I passed on to them because it's based on truth and scripture. Now, isn't that a fault? That the way things are in your grandparents' house ought to be the same way there are in your home and the way it's going to be in your kids' home. If everybody's building on the truth of God's word. So God is sovereign. I have to be, if God's going to start with me in my family, we have to settle the issue who's in charge. And God is sovereign. So he sets the rules. He determines the rules. Then in Deuteronomy, beginning in chapter 6, verse 4, God says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. He's basically saying there's a pedestal in your life and there's room for only me. But we have a nasty habit of putting other things on that pedestal with God. Yeah, God's important, God's sovereign, but this is really important too. And this is really important. We really value this. We start putting other things up there with God. And God says, no, I'm the Lord and only me. God's sovereign. And my kids need to have that attitude. They need to hear that from me and say, look, all that matters is what God thinks about this. So let's start with him. Because so often we focus things based on our emotions and our feelings. And one of the, I'm going to get to it in a minute in my message about learning to ask good questions. I think one of the worst questions to consistently ask is to our kids is, well, what makes you happy? Because that sets them up with this idea that life is about their happiness, when God is really more concerned about their holiness. You know, I think a far better question would be, what makes you fulfilled instead of what makes you happy? Because when I focus on my happiness, then I start putting things on the pedestal up there with God, the things that I think will make me happy. And that's always deceptive, every single time. He says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. That's the greatest commandment. And that is something that needs to begin with me so that then I can teach that to my kids. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. So if I love God with all that I am, and he's on the pedestal alone in my life, then what he has to say matters above everything else. And that's what that's referring to. He says, you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands. Now, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. But in verse 7, he says, repeat them again and again to your children. So he's talking about the home life, the family life. Talk to them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorstops of your house and on your gates. So basically, he was saying to the Hebrew children, he was saying, continually meditate on what God has to say. Now, much, much later in the Jewish history, they started interpreting this literally. And so they started some practices. Here's a picture that you'll see of a Jewish individual, and you'll see the leather straps around his arm, and you'll see a leather strap around his head, and on the front of his forehead is a little box. And here's another picture of what's in that box. That's scripture. So literally, they take scripture and they put it on their forehead, and they do that as a reminder of God's word and its value, its importance. So I don't think doing that automatically makes that happen, but here's the principle. I want to ingrain my kids so much and my grandkids so much with the truth of God's word that it's at the forefront on the forehead. So that as they face life, the first thing that they think about is, what does God think about this? What does Scripture say about this? You see the difference? So when I have it on my forehead, it's a reminder what God thinks is paramount. I begin with God. I begin with this truth. And then it says to put them on the doorpost. This is called a mezuzah. You see that little box on the left side. Every Jewish home will have that on the doorstop of their home. If you're ever in Israel, every hotel room has that at every door going into your hotel room. And inside that little box, it is actual scripture. And then a Jewish person would kiss that as they go in and out of the house, or they'll touch it. But that's just a reminder to them as they're going and coming, God's word is paramount. So what can you do to teach your kids that God's truth is paramount? And he says, look, you talk about it. You set up habits and rituals in your home where it's a conversation. Every night in our home, we would read a Bible story, and then we would talk about it. And then at the dinner time or any time we had meals, screens were off, TVs off, and we have conversation. And we talk to each other. And ultimately, we're going to talk about, you know, what does God think about this? You know, what does the Bible say about this? And it's laying a foundation. Man, first thing, on the forehead, what does God say? First thing with my hands, before I do anything, what does God say? As I go in and out of my home, I'm thinking about what does God have to say as I face life today. So you instill that spiritually in the life of your kids, in your family traditions. Now over in Luke chapter 10, there's an incident that happened with Jesus. And in verse 38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village. Now that village was Bethany, which was right outside of Jerusalem, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now, to just connect the dots, this is Mary and Martha are sisters. They had a brother named Lazarus. Lazarus is the one that Jesus would later raise from the dead. And so Jesus had a long-term relationship with this family, and he was very close to them, and he loved them deeply. So he's there in the home. In verse 39, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. So now Martha comes to Jesus and she says, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. You know, just the way she even asked that question, you know, don't you do that? Doesn't it seem unfair to you that my brother's not helping in the yard? You know, it's kind of you're trying to set the parent up that there's only one possible answer. And so Jesus said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details, parentheses, that don't matter. You must have forgot that I fed 5,000 people. I think I can handle this group. He said, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Well, here's what that was. The words of Jesus. God's word. Jesus said to Martha, said, Mary has figured this out, Martha. She's figured out that what I'm saying is more valuable than anything else. My words matter. And when she hears my words, no one can ever take them away from her. No one. You're worried about your to-do list. You're always going to have a to-do list. In fact, the day you die, you're still going to have a to-do list. Your inbox is still going to be full the day you die, and it won't matter. So you can focus constantly on your to-do list and miss the bigger picture. It's like he's saying, do you want everybody to leave here today talking about how great your food was? Or do you want to leave them talking about truth that they heard from the Son of God? When my kids come home and my grandkids come home, when they leave, they don't talk about, hey, did you notice how straight all the pictures were on the wall? Did you notice that everything was vacuumed and it looked great? Who cares? I want them talking about, man, that was so much fun. We played. We spent time together. Oh, man, that was a great conversation we had. Oh, wow, I didn't think about that. Man, that was really, that's what I'm wanting to think about. So are you one of those to-do list people? And you're so focused on your to-do list that you don't see the people around you in your home? Or do you want to have a home that you can't touch anything? And nobody knows which towel to use. And the soap is meant to be looked at. What do you want? Don't be focused on your list that you missed the opportunity to influence a life. So here's a couple of thoughts about the things that we've read today. Be authentic. When you speak truth, make sure you're already living the truth. One of the things that we tried to not do with our kids was to constantly say, well, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. Rather, as we dealt with issues, we would say, well, here's what the Bible says. Because what we were thinking is, I would rather teach you a principle that will affect a lot of decisions rather than how to handle this one specific incident. So Mary and I would pull back and say, well, here's what the scripture says. Now, how do you think you should apply that to this particular situation? You know, self-discovery is always more powerful than you just being told. And one of the best things that you can do as a parent, especially the older your kids get, is to learn to ask great questions. That's why I said earlier, asking the question, what makes you happy? I'm not sure that's a very good question. Learn to ask great questions that cause your kids to think, that cause them to apply what they're learning. A friend of mine was considering a promotion that was going to take him to another city. He had kids in middle school and high school. He was trying to figure out what he was going to do. And so he was talking to me, and I said, well, let me just give you an idea. Involve your kids in this process. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I said, what a great way to teach your kids about prayer and how you make life-changing decisions. Let them see the process that you go through. And let them be a part of it. Let them tell you how they feel about it and what they think about it and what should be considered. And he chose to do that. And so they collectively as a family came to that decision together. And the kids were all excited about, you know, Dad, it really doesn't matter. We're okay. If we move away, we'll be great with it. If we stay here, we'll be fine. But they went through a process to get to that place, to where the decision really didn't matter. And they learned so much in that process. And it was all because the dad was willing to sit down with him and say, here's what's up. I want you to be a part in figuring out what we're supposed to do. Wow. Man, that's a great life lesson that he taught his kids. One of the things you can do, another thing I would suggest, and that's in light of everything we've been talking about, is that you show your kids, not just show them scripture, but how it's applied. This is where you could get vulnerable with them and talk about your mistakes. My relationship with my son went to a whole deeper level when I became vulnerable with him about the times I didn't apply scripture. Our relationship became more real. It allowed him to see vulnerability. I mean, because now he's got his own kids, and it taught him to be authentic. And so I imagine that his relationship with his kids are going to go to a deeper level. So be vulnerable with your kids. In fact, he wound up saying to me, he said, Dad, I'm glad you finally told me that everything's great. Because that's what I would always do. How things go, oh, that's great. But I was willing to say, no, it's not so great. Things aren't good right now. I'm struggling with this. I'm having to deal with this, and it's a pain. And I don't like it. And it allowed him to grow. It allowed him to see how I apply scripture in my life. Which led me to one other thing as a parent. Don't hesitate to apologize when you make a mistake. You look at your kid eye to eye and you say, Dad was wrong. Will you forgive me? Which is a great question. Will you forgive me? That is far more powerful than just saying, I apologize. But when you say, will you forgive me? You put a lot of power in their hands at that moment. Wow, I have the power to forgive and not forgive. Man, what a great life lesson that is. You know, there's a difference between asking good questions. There's a difference between asking the question, so what have you been doing? Almost like you're suspicious, versus tell me the most exciting thing to happen to you today. Man, that's a great question. Well, we could go on and on and on with things to think about, but here's the bottom line. By the time my kids left the house, the most important thing to Mary and I were that they loved God with all their heart, body, and soul, that they knew how to love others, that they knew how to love themselves, and they knew how to make disciples. And now both of them are doing just that. Two separate arenas, two different career paths, but they're doing those four things. And that's what God said mattered to him. So what adjustments do you need to consider in your life as a parent, as a grandparent? What great questions do you need to start asking of your kids? Let's pray.